Gonna rise up and take what's there. 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I'm so glad you could come. This is going to be such an exciting day. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
This week in Radical History for the week starting January 5th.
Little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This week in Radical History for January 5th, 1715, an advertisement in a Boston newspaper offered for sale Indian women fit for any manner of household work. Also on January 5th, 1878, in France, Nellie Roussel lives. A freethinker, anarchist feminist, a beautiful speaker of talent, Roussel agitated throughout France, demanding complete freedom for women, founded on a new relationship between the sexes. Also on January 5th, 1898, Emma Goldman speaks on The New Woman to the Social Science Club in Brooklyn. During this period, the anarchist feminist Emma Goldman is in contact with Filipino rebels and helps support their attempt to gain independence from Spain.
The South American country of Colombia recognized Panama's independence on this day in 1909. After the ouster of the Spanish colonial occupiers by Venezuelan liberators Simón Bolívar and his allies, attempts were made to unite many South and Central American nations into a single federation which included Panama and Colombia. The federation, called Gran Colombia, was intended to defend certain liberal reforms, such as the recognition of indigenous rights and abolition of slavery, as well as to protect the region against possible Spanish attacks or colonial incursion by the United States. Bolivar proposed a treaty at a conference held in Panama City, which would have created a single central government for Gran Colombia, but with a president who would be unaccountable to the legislature and who, once elected, would rule in perpetuity. Many of the participating nations objected to that aspect of the plan, and it was never fully implemented. Panama, therefore, became vulnerable, especially to possible U.S. conquest, and so it united with Colombia in 1921, as did Ecuador. In 1903, the United States pushed a treaty with Colombia that would have granted the U.S. a strip of land surrounding the Panama Canal, which was then under construction. But when Colombia declined to ratify the treaty, the U.S. sent a warship to the Panamanian coast and financed an insurrection. Colombia's granting of Panama's independence completed the fiat and marked the beginning of Panama's client state status with the U.S.
Also on January 5th, as the Bolsheviks in Russia start to consolidate power, on this date in 1919 in Germany, Gottfried Feder founded the German Workers' Party, a political party that would later evolve into the Nazi Party. Among a number of extremist political groups operating in Germany after World War I, the relatively unknown Workers' Party combined socialist economics and militant German nationalism and opposition to democracy. Adolf Hitler, a disenchanted veteran acting as a snitch for the army, comes across the Workers' Party while spying for the activities of small political parties. Fascinated by the ideological potential of the party's nationalism and racist ideas, within months he becomes the leader of the political organization, changing its names to the National Socialist German Workers' Party, later abbreviated as the Nazi Party. Hitler learned to discern in the eternal Jew a symbol and cause for all the chaos, corruption, destruction in culture, politics, and economy. The press, prostitution, syphilis, capitalism, Marxism, democracy, and pacifism all were so many means for the Jews to exploit the conspiracy to undermine the German nation and the purity of the Aryan race. So Hitler and the Nazi Party would go on to promote. Lastly, for January 5th, 1937, as England and the United States officially stay neutral in the Spanish Civil War, both Hitler's Germany and eventually Stalin would treat Spain as the first major proxy war and test new weapon systems in that theater for the up-and-coming World War II. On this date, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, volunteers from America comprised mostly of anarchists, formed the fight against the fascist forces in Spain. Ernest Hemingway would say about the fight in Spain, quote, "No man ever entered the earth more honorably than those who died in Spain." Ernest Hemingway.
Honor around. on this day, January 6th in 1720, the British-owned South Seas Trading Company began issuing stocks in order to attract investors based not on the company's actual profit, which at the time were negligible, but on speculation that the company's value would increase. This began a kind of investment frenzy, which indeed did artificially increase the value of the company's shares, and when the pace of acquisition slowed later that year, the value of these same stocks plummeted, plunging many investors into bankruptcy. This chain of events would later be called the South Sea Bubble. Incidentally, the one source of revenue that kept the South Sea Company afloat through the crisis was the slave trade. More than 40,000 slaves were taken from Africa and sold by the South Seas Company during its operation, and thousands more were killed in the process. In 1864, the U.S. Army began a campaign of terror against the Diné or Navajo people of the Canyon de Shelly region of Arizona. The Army had earlier seized Diné grazing grounds for their horses and had encroached upon Diné traditional farmlands as well. Some Diné responded with isolated attacks on military patrols. The Army responded by burning Diné crops and slaughtering their livestock. A division of troops under the command of Kit Carson besieged the Canyon de Shelly under orders to kill every adult Diné male and take the females and children captive. Carson did not completely carry out those orders and instead made prisoners of males and females alike, nearly 10,000 in all. He marched them over 300 miles to a concentration camp facility in New Mexico. Several thousand died along the way or within the camp from disease and starvation. The Diné refer to the forced relocation as the Long Walk.
Also on January 6, 1907, Emma Goldman is arrested by the New York City Special Anarchist Police Squad while delivering the same lecture she had successfully presented last month. Emma is charged with publicly expressing, quote, quote, incendiary statements, unquote. The police evidence presented before the New York City courts on the 11th of this month would have her case dismissed. 3 years later, on this date in 1910, the January issue of her anarchist magazine, Mother Jones, is seized by U.S. Postmaster on objections of her essay, White Slave Traffic.
On this day in 1916, more than 8,000 employees of the Youngstown Sheet and Tube Plant in Ohio went on strike for better wages and housing. They staged a picket at the gates of the plant where they were joined by their wives and children. Then on January 7th, company guards and local police assaulted the picketers with tear gas grenades and live ammunition, killing three and wounding another 25. Riots soon followed, engulfing the workers' quarters in running battles with the Ohio National Guard, during which many buildings were burned to the ground.
Lastly, on January 6, 1927, Nicaragua, Marines reinvade again to protect American interests after ending a 13-year occupation. U.S. airplanes bomb haphazardly, destroying villages. It is said of the Marines that they are hated so much that even the monkeys throw things at them.
On this day, January 7th, in 1608, the tiny settlement of Jamestown in the British colony of Virginia was destroyed by fire accidentally caused by the carelessness of one of the settlers. Jamestown had been troubled from the start despite its rich soil, ideal growing conditions, and bountiful forests and oceans, and the generous hospitality of the Powhatan people, on whose land the Virginia colonists had established themselves. Dysentery and starvation reduced the colonists' numbers by more than half, and their arrogant attitudes toward the Native Americans, on whom they were almost completely dependent for food, threatened the colony's security. At the time of the fire, Jamestown had no stored food and scarce means of defending itself, and it was only with the arrival of reinforcements from England that it was able to continue. An explosion in a coal mine in Krebs, Oklahoma, killed just over 100 miners on this day in 1892. Conditions in the mine were notoriously bad, and the mine owner often hired young people with no particular experience. Some of the miners who were killed were no older than 12. Today is remembered in Argentina as the Semana Tragica, or Tragic, or Bloody Week, whereas in 1919, striking iron workers were joined by supporters and sympathetic unions and other trades, leading to a massive general strike in Buenos Aires, and were fired upon by local police. Riots ensued, and the army was called out to suppress the rebellion. Over the next week, many battles took place in the streets, and the army laid siege to a number of working-class neighborhoods. Before the violence was over, more than 700 workers lay dead, and several thousand more were injured. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Also on January 7, 1969, FBI snitch and acting President Ronald Reagan asks California legislator to drive criminal anarchist and latter-day fascist off the campus. He would later call in the National Guard to violently suppress a campus student university takeover. This week in radical history, for January 8, 1867, Emily Blatch lives. Co-founder of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, won the Nobel Prize in 1946 for peace. Also on January 8, 1880, death of Norton I, Emperor of the United States, and clearly its greatest leader. His funeral was a grand procession of thousands, followed by a rousing party lasting for days. His funeral procession was over 2 miles long, with 30,000 people reported to have attended the funeral. The first anarchist revolt happens on this date, 1892, in Spain, as hundreds of farm laborers take to the street of Jerez. The uprising is quickly subdued and its leaders captured and tortured. 4 are sentenced to death and 10 are executed in February of 1892, setting off a new wave of violence. Also on January 8, 1945, the packing shed of the Dory family is burned and dynamited, and shots are fired into their home. This family is the first to return to California from the Japanese-American concentration camps and the first to return to Placer County. Although several men were arrested and confessed to the acts, all were acquitted. Some 30 similar incidences greeted other Japanese Americans returning to the West Coast between January and June of this year. Also on that date, in 1967, police bust into the Second Diggers Free Store in San Francisco. Lastly, for January 8, 1996, in Spain, Carmen Candy, also known as Florentino, dies in Madrid, militant anarchist feminist. In 1936, she joined the Free Women, and during the Spanish Revolution, collaborated with the journal of the same name, as well as doing many lecture tours in her later life. Anarchist Women Rock in January. This week in Radical History, for January 9th, 1853, Anna Kolishkyov lives in Crimea. Anja Rosenstein is her true name. Feminist, revolutionary, and terrorist, Anna embraced any ideological movement that could supply necessary fighters, from her international anarchism of Bakunin, from violism and subversive terrorism, all in defense of the Russian peasantry. Also on January 8th, 1870, in France, Alexander Herzen dies, a Russian socialist and anarchist. He helped finance his close friend Mikhail Bakunin's escape from the Tsarist Russia. Speaking of governments, he once said, "There is nothing in the world more stubborn than a corpse. You can hit it, you can knock it to pieces, but you cannot convince it." Also on this date in 1883 in France, 68 anarchists known as the 66 go on trial, including Peter Potemkin, who helped write the document, The Manifesto of Anarchism, describing what anarchy is and what anarchists want. Quote, "We claim bread for all, knowledge for all, work for all, independence and justice for all." Also on this date in 1905 in France, popular French anarchist Louise McGill dies. A leader of the Paris Commune and co-founder of the Women's Battalion, also founder of the journal Les Libérées. Her funeral was a huge occasion with red flags and over 100,000 mourners. Memorial services were held for her throughout France and in London. Women anarchists really rock in January. Also on this date in 1964 in Panama, relationships with the United States is suspended after riots over U.S. control of the canal. U.S. troops kill 23 protesters in the Panama Canal Zone, all target practice protecting American interests. These 23 boys were pumped full of lead trying to hoist a flag of Panama on Panamanian soil. The School of Americas, also known as the School of Assassins, courses are financed with tolls paid by the ships going through the canal. Pentagon officials teach anti-communist strategies to Latin American military men who soon occupy presidencies, ministries, commands, and embassies on the behest of the United States government. U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara would say they are the leaders of the future. He'd also say, quote, "These military men will cut off the hands of anyone who dares commit agrarian reforms or nationalization and tear out the tongues of the impertinent or the inquisitive." Robert McNamara. Lastly, on January 9th in Wisconsin news, 10 Midwestern peace activists are arrested at Fort McCoy for handing out written warnings to military reservists about participation in war crimes. This week in Radical History, for January 10th, 1855, the remaining 88 people of the Clackamas Band that had not been killed by the United States military signed a treaty trading the best timberland in Oregon for $500. Also on January 10th, 1870, President Grant proposes to the Congress that the Dominican Republic be annexed to protect U.S. rum interests. Also on a date in 1914, IWW labor organizer folk singer Joe Hill, who coined the phrase pie in the sky, allegedly kills 2 men during a grocery store holdup. He'd quickly be executed for the crime amid much controversy regarding him being framed in Salt Lake City, Utah.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, "But Joe, you're 10 years dead." "I never died," says he. "I never died," says he.
Also on January 10, 1920, in the land of the free, by vote of 328-6, the House of Representatives refused to seat Victor Berger, duly elected representative from Wisconsin, because he is a member of the Socialist Party who vigorously opposed U.S. participation in World War I. Proving there is nothing new happening in Greece with their anarchist rioting in 1933 in Spain, anarchist uprising in Spain occur, rioting, bombing, gunfighting continue throughout the country, and the revolution spreads in the southern cities. Anarchists and syndicalists besieged Barcelona. Also on January 10, 1961, the first black students enrolled in the University of Georgia, leading to white riots. Lastly, on January 10, 1968, in Vietnam, the 10,000th U.S. airplane is lost over Vietnam. A wonderful waste of tax money beats feeding and sheltering the poor or frittering all that money on education.
In Salt Lake City, Joe says I, him standing by my side. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, I never died. Says Joe, I never died. The copper bosses, they shot you, Joe. They filled you full of lead. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, and I'm dead. Says Joe, and I'm dead.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Mobile Fortress of the Glee Glee Studios. Inspiration came from the Slingshot Organizer. Pick up the new 2009 calendar organizer at your local radical establishments. Speaking of calendars, much of the radical info of the segment came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Big thanks for some awesome work done this week via the audio borrowed produced by Columbus Community Radio Foundation, which supplies a daily history segment for the Pacifica Network. The ending music this week is Labor Song Joe Hill, sung by Luke Kelly. Thanks for tuning in to This Week in Radical History. And until next week's show, I am forever and always yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Where working men defend their rights, it's there you'll find Joe Hill. It's there you'll find Joe Hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.